some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Let's get shoved off from 2020 for this grammatically incorrect subject. But I want to talk this Sunday morning about him in the house. That's what I want to talk about, him in the house. So let's get your prayers. 2 years ago, when I went to Israel for the first time, I learned in Israel that where Nazareth gets all their plumb, or rather Bethlehem gets all their plumb and praise for being the city upon where Jesus, our Savior, was born. And Nazareth, of course, is on the map now because it was the place of his nurturing and wearing. But we learned, however, on our tour of the Holy Land that it is indeed Capernaum where he indeed did most of his work. It was in the city of Capernaum. You see from the title, you see from the language and the signs that are outside of Capernaum, that they call it the city of Jesus because it was indeed the place where he performed most of his miracles and where he opened up his ministry those very 3 short years. And so they consider Capernaum not only again as they claim it to be the city of Jesus, but it is the city upon where Jesus worked. It is also the scene, Betty, of one of the great happenings in the life history of Jesus. Well, kind of a miraculous thing, but not really too miraculous, because miracles are only something that we as humans can understand from where God sits. There are no miracles because everything is possible. Again, miracles are where our human reasoning cannot match up to, and science and medicine cannot match up, and there are no miracles from where Jesus sits. And you know the story, you probably heard the story. Jesus, Dr. Parker, was an unlicensed physician, and he opened up a medical clinic in the city of Capernaum. The Bible says that he was in this house healing people. There were so many people around him that there were 4 guys who found this paralytic on their way to see the doctor. What I like about this thing is that I assume that all 4 of the men, because they were going to see the doctor, had a malady and an illness themselves. But along that journey to go get some help, they brought along a brother who needed help themselves. I need to put that and flesh that claim one more time. They were sick. They needed help. They needed a miracle. But there was a brother who could not walk themselves, who they picked up and put on really on their backs to carry to see Jesus. I wish I had enough time this morning to ask you a question. How many people have you brought on your back to come see Jesus? Is it all about you as an individual, all about you getting your blessing, all about you getting your miracle, all about you getting your house on the hill? But how many brothers and my sisters have you picked up and brought them to see Jesus? And the Bible says that when they got to the house, there were so many people around the house. And I'm going to deal with this next Sunday. Come on back there. I got to deal with something new. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back. 8:59. Come on back. But I've always preached and teaching. I might have to deal with it a little different, that there were so many people around the house that they couldn't get in, that they took the roof off. The Bible says that they took the roof off and that Jesus saw their faith. He didn't want to move by the roof moving because he's already moved some roofs. He wasn't moved by the shaking in the earthquake because he's caused some earthquake. They already caused some earthquake. So he wasn't moved by all that. But what he was moved by the fact that these men knew they needed to get their new friend to see Jesus. And whatever it takes, that means going to 2 services. Whatever it takes, that means you got to sing twice. Whatever it takes, if you got to lunch it 2 times in a row and get your bunions all. Whatever it takes to get somebody to see Jesus, that's what we got to do. And the Bible says, when they saw their faith, he asked the man, do you want to be made whole? And the man was made whole. I want you to see, first of all, that we've got to work. We've got to do it. In 2020, the 3 things I want to see and use as things. We've got work. We've got to do. Capernaum was the city upon which he worked. Bethany is the city where he rested at the bed and breakfast of Mary and Martha's. But Capernaum, man, it was where he worked. And I haven't dropped this on yet. I'm a little late because sometimes this stuff just comes. And I want Betty every month to make sure we do some outreach to Montgomery, some work outside the church. Every month we need an outside project because we've got to work like Jesus worked. Because I've come to find out that we've got to make sure that we're working on the outside to get people on the inside. You know, the reason why the ministry of Brooklyn grew so rapidly and grew so ferociously and grew so wonderfully, Tim, as you remember, is because Brooklyn at that time was the only church doing outreach from the Black Male Conference to the HIV ministry to the soup kitchen. All of our work happened on the outside. As much as Pastor Jackson did on the outside, it
inside unless they see you working. On the outside, I have a couple of pastoral friends that we get together for breakfast and lunch about once a quarter. And the interesting thing about our group is that we all come from different theological perspectives, all different, have different worship experiences and different kind of attitudes. But we all learn from each other because we love Jesus. And I'm the one that you probably understand. I'm the most fundamental, most conservative. I'm the only one of the three of us who wears a robe. Got lights. But I learn from these brothers, and I love them with all my heart, because you can learn from people who are different. You can't learn from somebody who's the same. And some of us are too concerned about being comfortable. Just hang out with our own people, but you can't learn nothing if you don't hang out with people who are different than you. That's what we were talking the other day. We were talking about, there's a lot of jealousy, especially in this city, a lot of jealousy, church jealousy, that you've got two more members than we got, and pastors hate one of the pastors. I'm one of them brought to our church. There are 700,000 folk in Metro Columbia. You look at all the suburbs in the city. There's 700,000 folk in Metro Columbia. And why are we worried that you've got two more members? When we're going out to get the other 600, 998, yeah, that's it. Why are we so concerned about you got two more? It's so silly. I have no idea. Don't want to know. How many of you all play Brooklyn Northeast as your church home? I don't care what our budget is. I don't care. We're going to find it. We're going to get it. It's going to come to pass, whatever we need to come to pass. I don't brag about people asking you how many members you got. I don't know. I don't count them. I weigh them. And they have it. And all these people talking about I took a male name resumes. Oh, you read these big old resumes. And talking about I took a church from 100 members to 15,000. They lying. You're never going to see that on my resume. I don't know. I don't care. Why are we trying to impress people by claiming how many members we got? Because you never have that many members you think you got. Judge me on how many people gave their lives to Christ. Judge me on how many marriages we helped stick together. Judge me on how many of your children go to college. Judge me on your Division I athletic scholarship. Oh, I know I'm getting to heaven on that one. Judge me on that other judge on how many number people need to be delivered from the numbers maniac and just get to work. And if we work, people will come into the house. Say, I want you to see here that they witness. The Bible says that there was a noise, CJ, that the people witnessed. Somebody say witness. So that they witness. I've been pastoring now for 11 and a half years. And y'all remember when we started in the auditorium, y'all didn't like me too much. That's fine. Y'all didn't like me too much because I was a little dogmatic and a little condescending. Somebody having a flashback. A little condescending. And I would get mad at the people. They didn't open up their mouth. Y'all remember? I've been delivered. I was sure enough to get upset. Get out my whip and my leather belt. And I was just upset with the people because they didn't praise the God the way I thought they should praise. And even my own family. And people would stop me in the Publix and the chicken leather pastor. I'd be praising them. You just don't see me. I just don't always smile. It was that serious. I don't remember. It was that serious. I was really, really, but I was trying to, the Lord and I were trying to create something. See, I understood when they sent me up here on Beyond Killian Road in these nice hidden neighborhoods. I knew, looking at the parking lot, the type of people that I would be pastoring. I could see in the parking lot that there were a lot of wealth, big degrees, nice addresses. Behind gates. And I knew that, that type of group don't always praise them. They can be very serene. Cemetery-like. And, they would have them choir. The choir would have them on black binders. When they didn't hold the binders, that the hand skinned it, and I skinned it in the worst. But when it comes to praising my God, when it comes to giving God the glory, when it comes to opening up my mouth, all that big degrees, all them titles, all that wealth, all that money, all that acclaim, I got to leave that out the door. Y'all know I was shot all over these pulpits in these here red bottles because it's the blood of Jesus that puts the red on the bottom. I wish I had a witness up in here that God's been mighty good to you and you ain't gonna let all your money weigh you down and keep you sitting in that seat. Take my picture off. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. All about the preacher. The host pastor. The Lord of hosts. That's what we need to be praised of. The Lord of hosts. Not the host pastor. And every time I thought about calling Tyrone, love you, Tyrone, but God blocked it. I ain't put nothing together. Didn't need nothing together. Because I realized that when Jesus started and the apostles started, they didn't have no Instagram. They didn't have no Facebook. Serve this president. I know y'all need technology to come to see Jesus. But you know how the church grew? People talked. You know how the church grew? People opened up their mouth. You know how the church grew? People praised the Lord. And when people see you praise the Lord in your house, they will be they will be excited to join your house. Ain't nobody want to come into nobody's house when there's a funeral going on. The Bible says saying they ain't gonna say today because we're packed today. That's why I told Lynn to take a picture so I can see it come June. Come June, I'm gonna have a picture of this full church right here. I'm just gonna talk to these people because you know, come June, y'all be on vacation, y'all be in the AU, y'all be in the convention in them. So I just had Lynn take a picture so I can see what it's supposed to look like here Sunday. I know some when they start thinning out, y'all won't say, Pastor made a mistake. Who told Pastor to do this? Ain't nobody here no more. We should have stayed at one service. This was a mistake. I don't like getting up this early. This parking lot ain't moving as fast as I thought it was going to move. I'm a little late. I don't like this. I'm missing my friends. And then some of y'all are going to miss people climbing over here at 10:40. I wonder why they don't sit on the EMC because they got there. 10:40. And y'all been here since 7:30 couching out on your end seat. Y'all must think that all the people in the end seat going to heaven. And the rapture's going to come right to the middle. Everybody on this right here going up to heaven. But if you bring that negative attitude in this house, that this ain't what God asked us to do, it ain't gonna never gonna grow. If you have a negative posture about yourself and second guess what God has given us, then it really ain't about me. Because y'all know I like to sleep. It was hard getting up this morning. And then I ain't gonna have my coffee next Sunday, no how. Sandwich up in here every Sunday. I know a whole lot of churches that reverted to selling gospel nuggets to fill seats. That ain't that's gonna be around here. We gonna preach the unadulterated word of God. We gonna still call out sin and call it by its name. And we gonna still teach people that the wages of sin are still death. Still, will work for me. understand him already. But in this season,